Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Pea Geek Podcast. And as always, thanks for taking the time out of your day to or night to tune in. And I hope we can take you through a whole gamut of exciting things that are happening with physical education and technology. Now, I'm absolutely rapt because today I have another interview with a superstar phys ed teacher who is really doing some impressive things. And I want to welcome Jorge to the episode. How are you, Jorge?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Now, you and I have been in regular contact. It's probably for about 6 months now, and I almost feel like we sort of converse daily. And I've been, you know, sitting back and checking out the things that you're doing and been really impressed. And, you know, it's sort of testament to, you know, how much work you do put into growing as a physical educator. But for those people who haven't met you or come across you online, where do you teach and how long have you been doing that?
Well, I am a physical education teacher from Houston, Texas. I've been teaching for about 9 years now, and I am at an IB school here in Houston ISD called Harvard Elementary.
Awesome. And, I mean, what sort of led you down the path of becoming a phys ed teacher? Was there sort of like this defining moment, you know, when you were growing up? And you know, is there anything like that? Because there seems to be a regular pattern amongst teachers. I always find it interesting.
Well, I think I've always been interested in sports. Even as a little kid, I always loved it. And I came to Houston. I was actually on the track team at U of H, and I was a high jumper. And I wanted to do something in the realm of sports. And so I actually took a job after graduating at the YMCA, and I was a program director there. And I loved it, absolutely loved the job. It was a lot of time. I was the outreach director. I did youth sports. I did adult sports, aquatics, everything. But it was awesome. Loved it, absolutely loved it. And then when me and my wife had our first child, we decided I needed to take another direction because it was just too much time. Mm-hmm. And so I looked into teaching. I got my alternative certification. And I just happened to go to a job fair where they were looking for a PE teacher. And I interviewed, and the principal really liked me. We talked about football for like 2 hours, and he gave me the job. And so ever since, you know, I've absolutely loved it.
And what do you think is the thing that continues to make you enjoy it so much? I mean, I always note the enthusiasm and the sort of, you know, the attention to everything that you put into, you know, teaching. And I find it really impressive. What is it about the whole profession that you think makes that happen?
Well, you know, the more I learn about physical education, the more excited I get about it. I think what makes it so exciting is that it's a really big part of teaching the whole child. And the more I learn about brain research and the way physical activity helps the brain and those types of things and helps the learning process, I get really excited about it. I also like it because I feel like we're very open and free to experiment with new things, new types of pedagogy, new types of technology, and I really like the community and how much they share and how much goes on as far as like new innovative ideas.
Yeah, I mean it doesn't seem to be slowing down at all. It's almost like it's still at that tip of the iceberg in terms of innovation and collaboration. And I mean, it's a pretty exciting time to be a teacher, I think. And I mean, we're conversing about this sort of stuff all the time, and it's just really enthusiastic, you know, it just builds enthusiasm for the profession. So, I mean, I'm always interested in seeing the things that you're doing and really impressed by it. What sort of led you down the path of technology and then eventually using that in the physical education space?
Right. So I've always been interested in technology as well. I mean, even as a little kid, you know, I remember my next door neighbor got a computer, and it was like the coolest thing ever. You know, it had one of those old green screen computers, and we played Pong on it and, you know, those types of games. And I thought it was just amazing. And so I've always been interested in it. And, you know, getting into teaching, I always kind of gravitated towards that and seeing how I could not only make my life easier, but bring something new and innovative to the kids. And so, you know, technology is all around us. it's just getting more prevalent and more prevalent. And so I wanted to give them a perspective of how you could use technology to enhance your learning and enhance your health. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the times kids think that technology kind of equals being lazy. And so, what I try to do is I try to spin it and show them how you can use that to better yourself and, help track your information and actually lead you into a more active lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You've touched on so many good points about why I value it as well. What sort of tools do you find at the present are making that possible in your classroom?
Well, I mean, I use an iPad all the time. I carry an iPad with me all the time. And, that helps me track data. It helps me, be able to give the kids a different perspective as well. Like, I love BAM video delay. Mm-hmm. And I'll set that up in a tripod. And I'll let the kids do a specific skill. And then they can go and review how they did that skill. And so just things like that give the kids a different perspective. And then also, I use things like Just Dance. I'm not much of a dancer myself, but if I can bring an expert into my classroom to help teach that lesson, then we're all better for it, So the kids get a different perspective. They get sort of an expert in the way of Just Dance. And they love it, they really love the novelty of the technology as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think absolutely, and that initially does lead to lots of engagement, but then when you start to, operate in the level that you are, you start to see these really big implications for the learning as well. So, I mean, paint a picture for me. What does your physical education space that you teach in look like? And, I mean, what access to technology do the students have or the other teachers have?
Yeah, so I have kind of a small space. I have a classroom where we meet initially, and I have a smart board in the front of the classroom. And so I use Class Dojo, and the kids come in and they give themselves a point to kind of track attendance. And so they start off that way, and then a lot of times we'll do a warm up inside where. I love creating videos, and so I do a lot on iMovie, and so I'll have a kids create a video, some sort of a dynamic stretching routine or some sort of a warm-up where the kids, when they come in, we get started right away on some sort of an instant activity, and it's usually projected on the screen there. Yeah. And then a lot of times we'll go outside. Right outside I have a pavilion area that's about the size of a basketball court, and we do a lot of our big games and group activities out there. Sometimes I'll set up stations. And then again, sometimes I'll set up stations where there's an iPad on a tripod or something like that, where the kids can interact with that as well.
Yeah, I mean, really impressive stuff. So you find the use of Class Dojo to be a really powerful element of data collection in your classroom?
Oh, yeah, I love it. And, just recently I've been talking a lot with Nick Enlick on Voxer, and we've been talking about ways that we can use that to gamify our classroom. So I've primarily used it as a classroom management tool, so for behavior and things like that. But we're also, kind of brainstorming and thinking about ways that we can include like a gamification aspect to the class, where kids would earn badges and things like that through the Class Dojo app, and then that would make it a lot easier to track. So yeah, absolutely love that tool. I use it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, and have you looked at the, extending it to the sort of parental notification as well, or is it just something that you're doing in-house at the present?
Well, right now I'm just kind of using it in-house. Same thing, we've kind of talked about ideas on how to incorporate that a little bit more in the classroom, but right now I just kind of use it for my class.
Yeah, cool. I mean, I think it's incredible, and you look at a tool that just simply works, it does achieve one thing, and it does it really well. There's a lot of power in that, and the fact that it's, basically zero cost is incredible. And I mean, I've seen some pretty impressive stuff with people who are using it to do that next layer, which is that communication, constant communication with parents as well, which I think is really cool. So, I mean, aside from the tracking of data and so forth, you've mentioned BAM video delay for getting feedback. What other little tools are you enjoying at the moment or had success with?
All kinds of stuff. So, again, I use my iPad pretty much every day. I've been playing around a lot with Google Forms also to collect data and things like that. You know what I've been playing around with a little bit? I have an Android phone, so I have an iPad. I kind of like going between the two, you know, the Android and the iPad. But what I've really kind of liked playing around with recently are the NFC tags for my Android phone. And I've put several of them on different posters and then linked them to videos. Mm-hmm. And so the, you know, when the kids tap the phone to the NFC tag, the video will pop up.
Yeah,
So it's really easy for the kid, and it really helps with the whole student-directed teaching. So you know, you can set up stations, and the kids can just go and have at it. You know, and the video kind of does the teaching for you.
Yeah.
So I've been playing a lot with those. I also got I recently got a Moto 360 smartwatch, and so I've been playing around with that a little bit, kind of using it to start and stop music and things like that. So those are a couple of the new types of toys that I've been playing around with.
Now, I remember a couple of months ago now that you also picked up a drone at one point, and you had a bit of a play with that.
Oh yeah, that was a lot of fun. And it was real interesting the way it came about. I make these videos for my school sometimes, and I had an idea of getting this aerial shot of a group of students. And I was talking to a parent, and I said, man, it would be so cool if I had a drone. And the parent said, well, I'll buy you one. I said, okay, well, let's do this. And so he bought one of the little drones. You know, it isn't one of those big, heavy-duty ones like that carry GoPros and things like that. It's a smaller one, but it had a camera on top. And so, you know, I brought it home, and I learned how to fly it, because that was a tricky part, because I got it stuck in a couple trees trying to learn how to fly it. But I finally figured it out, and so I was confident that I would be able to do it safely. So while the kids were playing some group games, Capture the Flag, we were playing Ultimate Capture the Flag one day, and I took the drone out and I got some aerial footage of the kids playing Capture the Flag. And so when I played it back to them, it was real interesting. Some of the kids kind of were able to see some of the strategy that was being used in that game. So, you know, I kind of just use it at the end of the school year, but next year I got some big ideas on how I can implement that and really have the kids kind of reflect on large group games and things like that.
I mean, there's no better feedback than video when used well with other strategies. And I mean, we often see a different perspective from ground level than we would from if we had the top down view. So I reckon drones are fabulous and such an easy way to get this sort of different perspective that would really, you know, help showcase the things that we're trying to teach. So I think it's really cool. I mean, you mentioned that there was a few issues with trying to get it started and flown and so forth, and that's part of the learning experience. What do you reckon the most important thing about learning to use technology in the classroom might be? I mean, is there any sort of, you know, good advice that you could pass on about trying new things?
I think the best advice is don't be afraid to try new things and don't be afraid to fail. I mean, I am constantly failing on things that, you know, I think are sure things, and I implement them in the classroom and they're a flop, or it doesn't work the way I think it should work. You know, I'm also fortunate. I have a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old, and so I try a lot of things out on them. So they're kind of my guinea pigs, you know.
Awesome.
Yeah, so if I find a new app and I want to try it out, I usually try it out on them just to kind of see some of the cues that I'll have to use and some of the things that kind of troubleshoot it with them and see how they enjoy it. And if they enjoy it, then sometimes I'll implement it in my classroom. But yeah, definitely, I think the best advice is just don't be afraid to try new things and don't be afraid to fail, because like you said, that's part of the learning process.
Definitely. I mean, I always mention it, and you know, I believe that the best teachers are those people who are willing to do that. That, you know, they change year in, year out. They don't just roll out the same thing they've done for the last 20 years, constantly trying. But in that process, they're constantly making mistakes and they're constantly reflecting on it. And that's what students do, and that's sort of what we expect them to do. I really, I really get annoyed by the fact that a teacher would consider themselves perfect. And by that, mean not being open to trying new things and exploring. And I know for a fact that people listening to this don't fall into that category, but I think we've all come across teachers who express those qualities, and I actually feel sorry for them. I mean, in terms of the mistakes and so forth that you've made, I've got plenty. What are some things that come to mind right now? You know, you've gone in with this great plan, you've this great sort of thing that you want to try, and it hasn't worked.
Oh yeah. What jumps out on top of my head right now is one time I had this great lesson planned out. Actually, I was going to use BAM video delay, and I use music as a start and stop signal all the time. And so I had my Bluetooth speaker out there as well. And my principal came down to observe me, and none of it worked. The speaker didn't want to connect to the Bluetooth. There was a problem with the iPad. It none of it worked the way I wanted it to work, and it was like a complete disaster. And I was scrambling, trying to figure out how to get this technology to work. Mm-hmm. And so my biggest mistake was that I didn't plan for that to happen. You know, I planned for everything to work flawlessly, and so that was a big mistake on my part. You know, you have to have a backup. You absolutely have to have something. If the Bluetooth speaker doesn't work, then you have to have a backup to you know, get that start and stop signal down. If your iPad doesn't work, you have to have a backup for that particular station. So my biggest mistake was actually thinking that everything would work without a hitch, and that's where you know, the planning comes into play.
Awesome. And I mean, that's part of the learning process, isn't it? You've just identified that you need to have that there, and being a phys ed teacher, I think we're pretty resourceful and we can adapt pretty much on the fly, and I bet you those skills came in handy at that particular moment.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I adjusted, and you know, I had a conversation with my principal, and he understood that, you know, sometimes these things happen and you kind of have to adjust. So he was very accommodating about that, but at the same time, like I said, I should have planned better. That was me.
Yeah, I mean, great lessons, definitely. So, I mean, a big part of, I think, our success is the fact that we are connected through a community of people who are always looking, you know, for new things and sharing resources. Where do you find you learn the most from?
I learn a lot from Twitter. I'm on there all the time. Mm-hmm. There's great things on Twitter that are going on. But really recently, probably in the last 6 months or so, I mean, Voxer has just blown my mind. Some of the things that happen on Voxer, the conversations, the amount of sharing, the collaboration, being able to talk to you on Voxer and learning from you every day is just absolutely amazing. So I'd say most of my big ahas happen on Voxer.
Isn't it amazing? I feel exactly the same way that, yeah, there's this capacity to sort of realist in on Voxer, that is, to ask a question and get an immediate response, but not just 140 characters. I mean, I'm a massive fan of Twitter, but there's something different about the depth that you can respond in when you've got voice and when you hear someone's, you know, their conviction about their idea and all that sort of stuff. And I think it's fantastic. So, I mean, how does Voxer sort of work? Is there like groups, or how does the conversation happen on Voxer? Because there's lots of people I know listening who probably haven't been on.
Well, there's, for physical education anyway, there's this big general chat that happens, and that's how I kind of got introduced to Voxer. Justin Schleider actually added me to Voxer, and so there's this big general chat where there's a lot of conversation, all kinds of stuff going on in there, and then there's all these kind of sub chats. There's a technology chat, there's a chat about action-based learning, there's a chat about integrating different curriculum into physical education. There's book studies that go on, all kinds of stuff. And so as you are kind of talking to different people, they will create a side chat and then add you, or you know, if there's something interesting, something that interests you, you can also create a chat and add other people to it. So just amazing conversations, and the amount of like brainstorming and the amount of sharing of ideas is just phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. And it's just sort of spontaneous in many ways as well, because you can have that moment where you're like, I need to find this out right now. And Voxer seems to have that capacity for that to really happen. And for me, I know, because I'm in a different time zone to where most of the conversation happens, when I wake up in the morning, I almost get like a podcast length of conversation that I can be part of. So, that, you know, the first sort of half an hour of my commute is made up of listening to all the conversations that you guys have been having overnight. And then I get to respond and ask questions. And I feel like it's just a global staff room that is synchronous, but also asynchronous, which has so many benefits to the stuff that we learn. So if you're listening and you want to get started, head along to thepeergeek.com/Voxer and you'll find a tutorial video there. Jorge, is there any other, before we disappear, any other you know, apps or things that you might be about to explore, or something that you'd like to share as a final tip?
Something new that's kind of come into my life just recently is we started a podcast on Voxer. It's called the Voxcast. And so I have to thank you for really pushing me in that direction. I kind of toyed around with it for a while. And in one of the chats, we actually, I think we were listening to one of your podcasts, and we kind of all had these different ideas about different podcasts that could start up and that we could be a part of. And so the idea of starting a podcast on Voxer kind of came up. And so we've been doing that. We've done several so far, and that's kind of been my project for the last couple months now. Just kind of getting that audio together and editing it and putting it out there. The Voxcast is something that's kind of, like you said, kind of spontaneously came about, and we have a lot of people contributing to that, and so it's really cool. So I would encourage everybody, if they haven't checked it out, to kind of just to take a listen and see what you think.
So where can they get access to that at the moment?
Well, so it's on iTunes, it's on Stitcher, and Podomatic, and if you just search Voxcast, V-O-X-C-A-S-T, you can find it there.
Awesome. And we'll definitely have a link to it in the show notes. And I mean, I'm really a big fan of what you've put together with the Voxer podcast, the Voxcast. And it's just a great way to engage what is already happening and what is really good, and making it into something that can go even further with the content that people are putting out. Like, who have you had on there so far?
Well, our first guest was Mike Asala. He wrote the Kinesthetic Classroom. And so we talked about how movement helps the learning process, and so that was a really good one. And then recently we had Andy Vassily on there, and we just talked about all kinds of stuff related to physical education and just education in general. So hopefully we can get you on there as well in the near future. And so, and you know, as we get a little bit further down the road, you know, we're just looking for educators that have new and innovative methods of teaching and things like that.
Yeah, great. Absolutely wish you all success with it, and I'll absolutely be my pleasure to be part of it. So we'll get in touch and we'll make sure that happens. Jorge, thank you so much for stopping by today and you know, coming on the P-Geek podcast. Where can people get in touch with you?
Well, I'm on Twitter. I am at PhysEdNow on Twitter. So that would probably be the best way.
Awesome. And as I said, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to come by and drop some knowledge bombs. We'll speak soon.
All right. Thank you for having me.
See you later.
See you.